This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar, freshman serving the Grand Canyon State's 1st Congressional District. And he joins me now to talk about the issue that prompted many of the freshman members of this year's congressional class to run for Congress in the first place. And that's the problem of America's debt, and specifically his reaction to America officially hitting the debt ceiling and the right way to bring our fiscal house back in order. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
We knew this day was coming. We weren't exactly sure when. Apparently, we have until early August to do something about it, given the window that exists on this. What's the right reaction for Congress to take here? We've obviously heard about the clean debt ceiling resolution that the president has asked for. Some Republicans say, absolutely, it doesn't even need to be raised at all. Existing revenues can honor our debt obligations. Others say massive concessions on spending need to be made before the debt ceiling is raised. Where do you come down?
Well, first of all, I'd like to, you know, instead of waiting for that day, I would like to have that discussion. And that is my district is one of the poorest districts in the country. We've had to do more with less. And I think it's time that Congress and this administration earn their credit like they have taken it away. And I think that we have shown that there is waste, fraud, and abuse of well over $250 billion. But I think they ought to demand that that come out of that. And we go find that and start moving that date back, earn our credit back. And I think America ought to be demanding that from particularly the administration. I think the House has been really looking at trying to make cuts. We just see reluctance from this administration and from the agencies. In my opinion, in order to raise the debt ceiling, we'd have to have revolutionary type spending cuts with benchmarks. And frankly, America doesn't trust Congress. Trust is a series of promises kept, and we have to start keeping promises.
What type of benchmarks? You mentioned they'd have to be pretty historic. We've heard different things ranging from balanced budget resolutions to a specific percentage of GDP targeted for spending levels. What exactly would need to be agreed to before you would vote for any extension?
Number one is it's clear, definable, and unrevocable. And I think from that standpoint, I don't want gimmickry, but I definitely want to see an open accounting bill with the American people so there's transparency. You know, we can't keep doing business like we're doing here, Greg. I don't think, from my town halls all the way across, the president hasn't, benefited at all from his actions. They feel he's out of touch, and particularly with his response to Congress and the CR, I understand why they don't trust him.
You mentioned before, sir, $250 billion that could be shaved out of here in waste, fraud, and abuse, and otherwise. What are some specific areas where you think that should be addressed most extensively?
Oh, I think there's a lot of different things. You know, I sit on a committee on government oversight. We had the head of the Agency for Waste, Fraud, and Abuse basically tell us that in his conversation with our committee that, you know, 5 to 10% is across the board is pretty much fraud, waste, and abuse across the agencies. And, you know, that tells you a lot. We should be going to go define that and get that. And just look at what we had a problem with in the CR discussions, over $61 billion. Holy cow. We could look at education. You know, we could start with No Child Left Behind. No one wants it. Why don't we retake that budget item for No Child Left Behind, cut it in half, put half of that down towards the deficit, and reallocate that to the student or to the student across the country and allow the parents to get involved with education. When educators find out that they get more money out of that coming to the teacher-student interface, wow, there's some interchange right there. There's a novel concept. Start looking at programs that work and those that don't work. Start assigning a grade and make some tough cuts.
A lot of folks say that the biggest dents can be made in entitlement spending, and obviously the House Republican plan that was recently passed, originally drafted by Chairman Paul Ryan, seems to be the most concrete effort to do that from the perspective of House Republicans. If you look at the projected deficits, of course, over the next decade, they're nearly $1 trillion, in many cases more than $1 trillion a year projected. So what do you see as the smartest way to tackle entitlements and really bring that deficit down in a relatively short order?
Well, it's this discussion. I think it's hard for us to have that discussion. We've been forecasting this. We need this type of health care, Medicare type of reform. We need to involve the states, and we need to look at the due process, the process that we're engaged in. And it has to be one that the patients start to take a look at the accountability and the financial management of this. Because when you're putting $1 in and taking $3 out, which we're finding now, you know, common sense across the board in Medicare, You can't financially make things work that way. And what we have to do is I think there's ways and processes and aspects that we can engage our seniors to make that efficient so that they still have the services, but that we're not putting our future in indebtedness. And I think that goes from all aspects, from healthcare to Social Security to all these different intricacies of the benefits that they've tried to stash away and put away.
Congressman, you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that your district has a lot of people who are struggling financially. How is this debt crisis impacting them in particular?
Our healthcare, our rural healthcare, is under siege. You know, with the Medicaid aspects, we've seen huge population explosions onto the Medicaid rolls with lesser dollars. We see the fiscal strain on our hospitals, on our infrastructures, our roads. This is very, very poignant in our district. I've got a large contingency of Native Americans who always seem to be pushed to the back burner and last in line. And that's just not the way we should be seeing it. Second of all, you know, we've had discussions with the community banks here who have taken just a real hard hit by the agencies and oversight dictating who they can and cannot make loans to. And I think when you're talking about businesses, a lot of times it's those tough handshake, knowing the person on the community level that you make a loan that typically Washington, D.C. may not make, that is your wisest move, period. And when Washington, D.C. is dictating that banking policy, that's trouble. I think Thomas Jefferson was most worried about banking, control of the banks versus standing armies, and look at what we've got right now.
What do you expect to happen in this debate? Obviously, you talked about what you want to see happen, what it will take for you to eventually vote for an extension of the debt ceiling even by a little bit. The Democrats seem to be digging in their heels as well that there doesn't need to be any massive change in policy. So where do you expect this to shake out?
This is where I've engaged my constituency to get involved, and just like the Tea Party folks have started looking at the Senate Democrats and those particularly that are running for re-election. And then the business community really starting to hamper and harp. I think the transparency on the president's budget, you know, from his cabinet, from the agency's head, I think, you know, America is due some really conscientious cuts to show some good faith. And, you know, I don't think I'm willing to budge. And, you know, I hope that America is ready and braced for this serious discussion, because this is one of those ones that this is a huge poker hand, and the future of our country is at rest here. And I think people really need to understand the financial crisis is here, and I do not believe the Democrats see it that way.
It'll be a very interesting debate, and I'm sure it'll intensify even more in the weeks to come. Congressman, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so very much, Craig.
Appreciate it. Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar represents Arizona's 1st Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.